So we will listen to Glenda, who's going to come and bring us our Bible reading.
So Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 8 to verse 12. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Amen.
Invite Reg to come and speak now. Thank you, Reg.
Many years ago, I was had the privilege of leading a children's mission in a large church in Bolton. And one of the things that we used to do, we would tell the children what was going to happen the next day, or just tell them a little bit, you'll understand, so just to get them excited. And we had, every day was a theme. We had the happy world of Happy the Clown, and we had Mr. Noah and his floating zoo and that sort of thing. And one of the days, I said to the children, "Tomorrow we're going to go down on the farm, old McDonald's farm." Okay. And the next day, some of the children turned up with their lunches ready to go down on the farm. They took me totally literally. I want to take you to a city. We'll put it up in a minute. It's not just it's okay, John. I want to take you to a city in Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia is the country. It means the country between two rivers. That's Euphrates and the Tigris. And this city was a very, very modern city. It was an amazing city, really, because they had all sorts of medicine was one of the things. They knew about aspirin, for example, and things like that. And we're talking something like 2,500 years ago, before Christ, rather. So it was an amazing city. It had its universities, it had its many societies, and all sorts of things were happening in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. But there was something else about Ur that was, it was really sad, because it was a city of idolatry, many gods. But there was one god which is like a chief god. And that was the moon god. And incredibly, the moon god was called Sin, S-I-N. And there was a great ziggurat, a seven-story ziggurat in Ur of the Chaldees. Still there are parts of it. On the top of this ziggurat was a magnificent temple to the moon god. And this was the place where Abraham was brought up. Now, Abraham's country was amazing, but so was his town. His actual house would have been, they were kind of middle class. So typical houses in those days were built around a courtyard where there were plants and idols and all sorts of things in the courtyard. And there were at least two stories, maybe more. But on the ground floor was where the servants stayed and where their the kitchens were and the workshops and all sorts of things like that. And then the first floor was where the dining room was and where the guest rooms were and so on. And we've often sort of thought, we live in a bungalow, and we've often sort of thought we could do with two bathrooms. Well, they had at least three there, because they had two bathrooms plus a guest room, which is en suite. And so it was quite some place. And I kind of picture, you know, the Bible says that Abraham lived there. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. Now, I kind of picture this in my mind. I suspect it was breakfast time. And you can imagine the family just gathered. Terah, Abraham's father, aged father, he was be at the head of the house, head of the table. And Abraham, now 50, he stood up and he said, I've got an announcement to make. And so his father said, well, speak on. And he said, last night I met God. And so you can imagine them saying, well, which God did you meet? Not the gods that are here in this great city. Nothing like that. It was the living God. In fact, he's the only God, the only real God. And he spoke to me. And I can imagine Terah saying, there's no such thing as a God who speaks to you. But Abraham was insistent. He said, God spoke to me last night. And what did this so-called God say to you? Well, he said to me, he said, I want you to leave your family, leave your home, and go to the land that I will show you. And you can imagine him saying, well, where did he say to go? He said, actually, I have no idea, but I'm not really bothered. And he talked about this thing, and I can imagine Terah saying, let me get this straight. You met God last night. He spoke to you. What's his name? Adonai, he said. You met this Adonai, and he spoke to you, and he said you've got to leave your family, leave your home, leave everything, and go somewhere that he'll tell you, and that's it. And you don't know where you're going. And he said, yeah, that's exactly that. And when were you thinking of going? He said, well, I'd like to go right away. Because that's what he said. He said, you can't be serious. I'll not say it the way it, tennis player said it. But he said, well, yeah, I am absolutely serious. And Abraham was serious. And he said, I've got to go. And this was a time when there was the first blip, if you like. Because Terah said, if you're so determined to go, I'll take you. And Abraham didn't want to do that, because of course God said, leave your family, leave your father's house. But of course Abraham would be very respectful of his father, as they were in those days, very respectful of the head of the house. And Terah actually gathered the whole of the family together, and they set out. He said, well, seeing you don't know where you're going, and this God hasn't told you where you're going, he said, we'll go on the trade route north. I know people along there. Could we have the just so you get an idea, John? This is the area of the country, just north of the Persian Gulf. It's modern Iraq. And the trade route would take them through up the river, up the Euphrates River, and he said, I tell you what, we'll go towards Haran. Haran is where some relatives of mine and some friends of mine are. Terah was a businessman, and he was involved, like much of the city, in sending out goods all over the known world at that time. And it was amazing. By the way, just to give you some idea, the population was estimated at about 300,000, which is almost as many as Newcastle. So you get an idea of the size of the place. So it was a very important city. But they set out to go to Haran. And this was where they first stuck, really. Look at verse. By the way, we have Bibles on the table if you wanted to follow on with them, but thanks to John, he's put in some of the verses up for us. But the number is page 854 in the church Bibles. So if we could have the first verse, John, please, which Glenda read so beautifully. But I want you to concentrate on, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And it's very clear that he didn't know where he was going. But the amazing thing is that Abraham, in that one encounter with God, turned from being a heathen moon worshipper. He turned from that to being a man of faith in the true and living God. How about that for a conversion? And it can happen, by the way, just as quickly as that, when you trust the Lord. So he obeyed and went, and he did what the Lord told him to do. But Haran was the destination of Terah. Terah took them there, and sadly they got bogged down. They didn't move. You see, the plan of God was leave your family, leave your home, and go to the land I'll show you. And so they got to Haran, which was a city not nearly as big as Ur of the Chaldees, but it was a city where the predominant deity was the moon god, Sin. And that was the place where they stopped. And incredibly, they stopped there for 25 years. They should have moved on, but they didn't. And you know, I've thought about that many times, and I thought, you know, so often in a person's Christian life, they get stuck. And somehow things don't move on. I know it's happened with me. I know exactly what's happened. But you see, what I love about this passage, this is the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 11. He's telling the story, but in a precede form. But he doesn't mention this bit. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead the writer to the Hebrews to tell them they spent 25 years in Haran. He doesn't mention that. You know, the wonderful thing is, if you've been in that situation where things have, well, got stuck, if you like, your Christian life has got stuck, no movement. You know, the wonderful thing is, when we come to the Lord and we repent of the past and so on, the Lord will forgive you. But more than that, the Lord will forget. The Bible says he takes us, our sin, in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. So Terah was there and kept Abraham there until the day he died. So a little poem that I once remember, which says, "Does the Lord know the times I've wasted? Yes, he knows. Does he know the wrong I've tasted? Yes, he knows. Does he really love me yet? Will he really pay my debt? Well, I'm glad that since we met, Jesus knows. He knows exactly where you're at." And he knows about the weaknesses of our lives and so on. He knows it all. But I'd like us to look at the verse 9, please, John. It says, "By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise." The word in the Greek means he became a foreigner without citizen's rights. Now, remember this. God had promised him, this was the promised land. That's why it became be called the promised land, because it was promised to Abraham. But he didn't just go in all guns blazing and saying, "This is my place. This is where the Lord's told me to go." He didn't do that. He actually lived in tents. By the way, did you notice that? Abraham lived in a lovely house when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. When they moved up to Haran, no doubt they had a house there as well, a decent house, because they were rich enough to do that. And so Terah wouldn't have just lived in a tent. But when they left Haran, the Bible says that Abraham was then 75 years old. And he left Haran at 75, and from then on, he lived in tents. He was just like a sojourner in the promised land. And he lived there, and we'll see a little bit later why this was very important. So God told Abraham to go to Canaan. And sorry, can we have the map up, John, if that's just to have a quick look again. So this is Ur of the Chaldees, right the way up to Haran, and then down on the Damascus Road to Canaan. And it was about 1,400 miles altogether. It wasn't bad, was it? And it doesn't say he had camels at that point. He did have camels later, because he was given some in Egypt, but at that particular time he probably didn't, so it's a long way to walk, really. But we don't know that for sure. Okay, but he was living in Canaan from then on in tents. His whole family, oh, by the way, when he left Haran, he had servants, a lot more servants. He'd accumulated a lot, so he was a rich man. He could easily have bought himself a house or built himself a house, but no, he lived in a tent, and all the rest of the company in tents. And so it says in verse 9, it says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. As did Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Jacob, of course, they were, Isaac was his son, Jacob his grandson, and they too, all the time they lived in Canaan, lived in the land, they were living in tents. They were like sojourners there as well. That's important because for something else. So that's where God began teaching Abraham. Now, God had said, let me read the passage from Genesis. It says this. Genesis chapter 12. "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" Actually, The Hebrew is interesting. It actually means, it literally says, go forth, go by yourself, do not hesitate, but go immediately. So that was God's word to him back then. But the Lord said to him, I will make you a great nation. Remember, at this point, Abraham hadn't had any children. Sarah couldn't have children. I could have done with Glenda there. But anyway, there we go. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's some promise to someone who didn't even have one child. But this is where God was teaching Abraham. You see, there were three great challenges that Abraham was given. The first one was leave your place of abode, leave your family, leave your friends, etc. Well, he eventually did that after 25 years. But then the second real difficulty he had was the fact that God had promised him to make him a great nation, but he hadn't got any children. But the Lord promised him that he would have children between Abraham and Sarah. Now there's a blip, and I'm not going to talk about that. It doesn't mention it here, but you could read the whole story for yourself in the Old Testament. Chapter 12, almost a quarter of Genesis is given over to Abraham. So to put this in five verses is quite something. So the Lord began to teach Abraham. And it says in verse 11, we've got that, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. When Abraham left Haran, he was 75 years old. The Lord allowed him to live for another 24 years before this happened. An amazing incident when he was set in his tent. Actually, he was set under a tree because it was very hot. And he was enjoying just the shade of the tree. And suddenly he saw three men. And Abraham jumped up and offered them the Oriental hospitality. He wanted them to be blessed, and because, of course, it was a hot country and their feet would have been weary, he offered to wash their feet, and you can read it for yourself in chapter 18 of Genesis. And he fed them an amazing. They even went to the flocks and killed a goat so that they would have meat. So he was really giving them great hospitality. And we now know that two of those three men were angels, because you can find that they went to Lot's, where Lot was living. Things were not good. Anyway, we'll not worry about that. The other one, of course, was the Lord himself appearing to Abraham. We don't know how he appeared to Abraham that first time back in Ur of the Chaldees, but now we know that here was the Lord speaking to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. Actually, she was just in the tent because she was listening to what was going on. Wives aren't like that. They don't listen into conversations like that, do they? But she was listening in. And the Lord said to Abraham, I'm going to come back about this time next year, and you and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah, now she was 89, she would going to be 90, that would be. She started laughing to herself. To herself, it wasn't out loud, because she didn't believe that could happen. A lady who was so totally past childbearing that there's no way that could happen apart from a miracle. There's no way that Abraham could father a child except for a miracle. And she laughed, and the angel said, or Jesus said to her, why did Sarah laugh? And that she replied, I didn't laugh. Yes, she did. Interesting. Abraham also laughed. I don't know whether he was quite as unbelieving as Sarah was, but he laughed as well. So when the baby came, they called him Isaac, which means laughter. It's amazing, really, that the whole story is wonderful, and do get your Bibles and read it through. But it says here in we've looked at verse 11, she considered him faithful, and in verse 12, please. Verse 12 is about Abraham. And so from this one, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That literally came true. And if you've been to Sunday school when you were a child, you probably had the song, Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons said, Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you, and so on. And of course, that's literally true, that Christians have become part of the heritage of Abraham, because it's all by faith. You know, some people think that God in the Old Testament had you working, salvation was by works, if you like, and all the rituals and all the rest of it. No. The Bible teaches us, Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us, that it was always by faith. By faith, Abraham. And he did what he was told by faith. And he worked by faith. And it's the same with us today. The Bible says, it is by grace are you saved. That grace means unmerited favor. By grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith. And then I want you to see where these three men, the thing actually happened, of course, a year later. Sure enough, Sarah had her son Isaac. One more verse, which I kind of missed deliberately. Verse 10, please. Now notice what it says. For, so what's the word for? What's the link? Well, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, and he lived as a sojourner, as a citizen, not as a citizen proper with citizen's rights, but just as a visitor, if you like. But he lived there all that time. And the reason he did it for, he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and God, whose architect and builder is God. This was God's revelation. Now, that's an incredible verse. We're talking 2,500 years before Jesus came. And here was Abraham saying, well, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. He was recognizing that God had a plan for Abraham which was far beyond this life entirely. And how do we know that? Well, actually, It's very clear. You see, it says he was looking for a city with foundations. Now, obviously, every city had foundations, so how does that make that unique? Well, let me just read some of the verses in Revelation. Right at the end of the last book of the Bible, and it says this, John was given this amazing vision, and it was this. He said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God. And it says, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper. It says the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And it goes on to say this, the foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And it goes to elaborate on these stones. And the 12 foundations, Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And it goes on to say this, nothing impure will ever enter into that city. It says, anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? You can know for sure. Let me read you something. It's a little story I read quite some time ago. And the evangelist Charles E. Fuller was preaching on heaven in one particular night. He had a series of meetings. And after he'd been preaching on heaven, he got this following letter. Dear Mr. Fuller, I am interested in heaven because I've got a clear title to some property there for the last 50 years. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money or price, but the donor purchased it for me, a tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation because the property is not transferable. It's not vacant, but for over half a century I've been sending materials out of which the builder of the universe has been building a home for me. It will never need to be repaired or remodeled. It suits me perfectly. Termites can never undermine its foundation, for it is built on the Rock of Ages. Fire cannot destroy it, and floods cannot wash it away. No locks or bolts will ever be placed on the doors, for no vicious person ever enters that land where my dwelling stands. It is now almost completed, and I'm almost ready to enter in and abide in peace eternally, without fear of being rejected. My ticket to heaven has no date, mark on the journey, and no return coupon or permit for luggage. Yes, I'm ready to go as soon as my Lord calls me to my heavenly home. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas, one of the disciples, said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said it very simply, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now the Lord wants us to know that there's only one way to be ready for that wonderful time when we can enter into the home that he has prepared for us. Do you know you're going to go there? Have you made your reservation? The Lord wants you to do it today. It only took just one meeting with the great I Am, with Abraham, to turn from being an idol worshipper, an idolater, to being a man of faith and of God, that the Lord did that for him. There were three great trials that Abraham, or three great tests that Abraham was given. Well, we've looked at two of them. You'll need to come next week to hear the third one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Abraham and his faithfulness. And Lord, we thank you for even Sarah, who trusted you. And Lord, all those years knew what it was to have a miracle in their lives. Father, we just thank you that we can trust you completely. And maybe if you're here this morning and you've never really trusted Jesus, I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer, because you can come to know him. This is, you can say it inside your after me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've broken your law and I've lived for myself all these years. Lord Jesus, this morning, I want to trust you as my personal Savior. Come into my life and make me your own servant, your own disciple. Help me, Lord, to serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, Amen.